It is my honor to introduce to you my dear friend, Dr. Jeff Fugit. This is a man that I believe God has preserved a certain man or two in every generation in America and in our country and our world. I believe for our generation, it's Brother Fugit. Amen. The last generation, it would have been Brother Hiles and some others. But I really believe with all my heart that God is using Dr. Fugit in just a mighty powerful way. Travels, told me today, flown 500,000 miles this year. Some of you don't even know what 500,000 is, unless it's your debt, all right? But, ouch. But seriously, just amazing all that he does. He's got a tremendous church, of course, the college, training young people, sending preachers out all over the world, missionaries, building buildings, contracting. He's one of those guys that does it all and does it all well. And most of all, any of you preachers know this for sure, he knows how to be a friend. He's never too busy for us little guys. And I thank God for that. Brother Fugit has an incredible mind. It was my privilege for 5 years to work for Brother Hiles. When I'm around Brother Fugit, he's honestly one of the only men in America that when I'm around him, I feel like I've been with Brother Hiles again. He just probes and probes and probes, gets deep into your mind and draws things out. And I appreciate him so much. I trust him. I thank God he's my friend, and I thank God I get to serve in the same generation with him. And I want you to hear him with gladness. Brother Fugit, come preach to us, please.
Thank you. You can be seated. Open your Bibles. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 1. It sure is good to see you again. I always look forward to coming. And I appreciate a church that is excited and alive and growing. And not only, you're like us, you're not only growing, there's more of you. And I like it, and that's a blessing. And I told our church, I sure would save a lot of money if we'd all go on a diet, but I didn't get 2 votes for it, so we're building. And so that's exciting. And I enjoy coming here, and it's good to see friends and family that I love so very much. It's good to see always Brother C and his wife, and very close to me. And you know, sometimes I just wish we could serve the Lord all together in one town, but we can't. And Brother Moore, I knew Brother Joe Moore when he was a little bitty fella, and just barely big enough to pick up a sledgehammer to drive a tent stake, and worked hard in revival meetings. And Brother Josh, and of course Pastor Bush, and I appreciate everyone. I was sitting there thinking, I think this often, I wish we had 1,000 men that were like Brother Bush in America. I really do. If we had 1,000 men, we could make, as the president said, we'd send them to all 54 states across America. And we would. And I don't know. He said that's what he said. But anyway, I'll start with 2 words tonight, made in America. But anyway, I love church and I love life. It's a joy to be saved, isn't it? I've laughed about that all week. Well, you have to laugh. You might as well. Isaiah chapter 1. If you'll stand with me, we'll read 4 verses of this chapter. But I want you to mark your Bible. And I'm going to preach a sermon that's a tad different than what I would preach in traveling. I want to show you the not progression. We're not progressive in America. We're digressing. Yes, and the Bible tells us why. But the purpose of the message is not to just show digression, but to show how we can turn America around. I really fear that the church looks toward the White House thinking that is the hope to turn America around. It isn't. It is the church house. When you look at America, it wasn't the mega church. It was the many churches across the country that were doing right and serving God. And it's always a remnant that makes a difference. And so I have great hope. You know, I've been saying this in church. I'm aware that every time I pray, a miracle could take place on behalf of that prayer. What about that? If God just answered a prayer, what a miracle could take place.
Sir.
And you know what God can do in a moment of time? I mean, just a moment of time.
Yes, sir.
In 1 minute, Goliath is cursing and yelling at the children of Israel and making fun of the army. In the next few minutes, his head's gone. And little David's walking across the field in the valley with Goliath's head in his hand. You know, God can make a difference in a short amount of time. We've got to press on.
Yes.
We've got to press on and do right. And there's no need for compromise. That's never helped anything. We just need to get a hold of the truth. And so I'm going to preach a message tonight. What happens when a nation forgets God? What happens when a nation forgets God? I believe that the chapter and the message will hold our attention tonight, and we'll see it, and then we'll recognize that the answer is also in the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says in the first four verses. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Heavenly Father, my heart yearns to see a spiritual awakening in our nation. And Lord, I do see great hope. I do. I see it in our churches, because I see churches like this and new churches that are starting across the country. I see folks responding to the witness of the gospel, and people are receiving you as Savior. Lord, visitors are attending churches across America. Lord, I also see that we have many folks that are not just conservative and Christian, but they're righteous people seeking to make a difference in various offices and positions across America that are not ashamed to be a child of God and a believer in the Word of God. And so I preach the message tonight, not at all discouraged or discouraging, but Lord, to see and to say what can happen and what does happen when a nation forgets you. And I pray, oh God, please help us to see that we are important in our relationship with you and the work we do in the local church. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied during times in Israel's history when there were great changes that were taking place. Now, Isaiah lived about 100 years before Jeremiah, and Isaiah lived just after the northern 10 tribes of Israel were destroyed by the Assyrians, and then Jeremiah lived afterwards during a time leading up to the carrying away of the southern tribes of Judah into bondage in Babylon. Now, both were prophets to the nation of Israel. Isaiah before the fall of the nation, and Jeremiah after the fall of the nation. Isaiah warns the nation of what will happen if they forget God. Jeremiah preaches to a fallen people that ignored the preaching,
yes,
and they turned their back on God. They forgot God, and they went into great judgment. Now, I wish we had time to go into every single verse, because God never gives a judgment without explaining why. God doesn't judge to destroy. God judges to restore. God doesn't judge to destroy. He judges to restore. There was a time in our nation that prisons were referred to as penitentiaries. And it came from the idea to make folks
repentant for the crimes they had done, and help to rehabilitate them and get them back into a society as a citizen that would add to our nation and make our nation strong. But when you took the Bible out of our prisons and you took the Bible out of our schools, yes. And sadly many have thrown the Bible out of the church, yes. We threw away the hope that we have. Yes. And the truth is, the answers are so very simple. It doesn't take a very educated person. It just takes someone with a little common sense and open eyes to see that the answer is in the book. I want to show you, first of all, tonight, if you'll notice in these first few verses, that these people became ungrateful, or we see an attitude of ingratitude among the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now you study the nation of Israel, you'll find that they were very blessed by the Lord, and they took their blessings and let them come between them and their service for God. And they got so busy in the blessing, they stopped thanking the blesser.
Yes, sir.
They didn't just turn their back on God and say, "We don't want to have anything to do with God." They just drifted apart. They just grew apart. They missed, if you will, a Wednesday night service here and there when they could have been in the house of God. Yes, they missed, sir, their walk with God in the morning when life got too busy. And you'll find that they became a people that were unthankful, or an attitude of ingratitude.
Yes, sir.
And now you'll find it interesting when you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Paul talking about what will take place in the last days. And one of those things is unthankfulness. We live in a day when folks are just so busy, they don't have time to go to church. You know, you just being in your place on Sunday morning is a big deal. I mean, you just being in church just to say, "I want everybody to know whose side I'm on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I want everybody to know that God is the one that gave me everything I have.
Yes.
God is the one that gave me every blessing I enjoy. He has given me the life I have to live, and I'm going to live my life bringing praise and honor and glory to God."
Amen.
May I say tonight, there is only so much time in life.
Yes.
We don't have time to do everything that is offered to us in America. I mean, you have sports and travel and games and fun and technology and entertainment and all of these things. And folks have the idea, "I have to do all of those things to enjoy life." And we get to the place that we have so many gadgets and games and toys and places to go that we don't have time to show God our thankfulness, and we're not committed,
yes,
to our place in church and our place in the Lord's house. And we become a people that have an attitude of ingratitude.
That's right.
Now, one of the things God tells us as parents to do is to teach our children to be thankful.
Yes.
And not just to be thankful, but to be thankful to God.
Yes.
Some of the greatest proclamations ever made in our nation were made by our presidents at the time of Thanksgiving. When you read those first Thanksgiving proclamations, friend, they weren't thankful for turkeys and they weren't thankful for hams. They were thankful to God that at least half of them had survived that first winter. And they were grateful,
yes,
to an almighty God. And they not only were grateful, they warned and said, "If we ever come to the place that we lose our gratitude to God, we're going to lose our nation, and we don't deserve our nation if we're not thankful to God."
Yes,
now, I could preach the entire time on ingratitude. And I'm going to go back to this as I go throughout the message, and my message is about an hour and a half, but I think I can preach in 35 minutes. And I got used to preaching on radio and television. They said, "You can preach as long as you want, but on the radio, we turn it off after 13 minutes, so you do whatever you want. And television, 29 minutes. And at church, they said, we're dismissing the nursery at 12. You do whatever you want." But anyway, I want you to notice that ingratitude led to ignorance. This is interesting to me. Look at verse number 13. He gives quite a crude illustration. Ingratitude led to ignorance. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Do you know that as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday, that there will be schools that will celebrate Thanksgiving and never have one thought of God in heaven?
That's right.
They won't.
That's right.
They won't even mention God. They won't even think about it. Because ingratitude leads to ignorance. He said they're like a people. They don't even know who feed them. Now, I grew up on the farm, and I grew up where we had animals, and the animals knew when feeding time was.
Yes, sir, they knew.
And I mean, they knew. I mean, I don't care what animal it was, from the hogs to the horses. I mean, they knew when the old feed bucket rattled, they came to the place, and they came to the trough, and they were pretty kind to you because they knew you was going to feed them. But God uses this crude illustration. He said, I've got children that I've taken care of. I've got children that I've given them a land. I have blessed them beyond all the nations of the world. And they are worse than an animal that doesn't know the master.
Yes, sir.
We live in a day of ignorance today. Now, ignorance is different than stupidity. Ignorance means to ignore available truth.
That's right.
Some folks don't have mental capacity to learn. They don't. He's not talking about that. He said that you become ignorant. You've ignored available truth. Our nation today is ignorant of the Word of God. If it wasn't for memes, they wouldn't know half a verse. Isn't it the truth?
Yes, sir.
We're so busy on our time-saving gadgets, we don't know the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Honestly, I'm embarrassed at some of these Facebook theologians. I'm wondering, you ever read the Bible? I mean, they send me notes and send all these stupid rules and all these stupid regulations and... I had a man send me an email the other day. He said, I never heard so much stupid rules in all my life. I sent him a copy of the rules of the royal family. They are really ridiculous unless you understand the royal family. There's quite a behavior in that royal family. The queen just died. You know, some see Meghan Markle as a hero because she's a rebel. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. When he saved me, he made me a part of a royal priesthood.
Yes, sir.
He made me a part of a peculiar treasure. I belong to the king.
Amen.
My father is rich in houses and lands. He owns all the world, the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the king.
Amen.
I ought to act like I've been redeemed, but we live in a world of ignorance.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 138, verse number 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name.
Yes,
it's sad that we're ignorant of Bible doctrine.
Yes.
It's sad that we're ignorant of the fact that we're a part of the royal priesthood. It's sad that we're ignorant about life principles and laws of the Word of God. And some see this book as a law of restraint. It's not a law of restraint, it's a law of liberty.
Yes.
It doesn't hold me from enjoying life. It is the book that sets me free,
yes,
that gives me liberty to let me have life.
Man,
there's a fellow named White. I don't know him. I just know he has a book and he sows discord about the King James Bible. And folks have doubted the King James Bible because of his writings. And he found a couple of mistakes in his mind and he blamed it on the Bible. Do you understand the 47 linguists that translated the King James Bible? Have you ever studied just who those men were?
Yes, sir.
I mean, they were the all-stars of all-stars when it came to... White has a minor in Greek. These men, for hobbies, learned languages. I don't mean they learn to say yes or see or, you know, they can't say five words in three different languages. They could speak different languages. They divided them into three groups. They put six men in a group, and as they would do the translating work, I'm talking about men that understood languages, and as they would write a portion, they would send that around their circle, and there would be a time they would write and a time they would check the writing of another. When that was completed and went through that checking process, it went to the next group, and they checked it, and they went through. Can I tell you something? That old book right there, God promised to preserve his inspired word.
Yes,
and we let someone who has a minor in Greek. We said, well, I don't know. I read in a book the other day. Well, let me tell you what I read in this book.
Yes, sir.
We become, when you lose your gratitude, you become an ignorant people.
Yes, sir.
I'm embarrassed at the ignorance of our nation.
Yes, sir.
On the world stage.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm embarrassed that the president apologized to other nations that we overturned Roe v. Wade in the high court and said that we are medieval and archaic in our thinking and some of our... Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. The book is an eternal book.
Yes,
it doesn't change. Its truths are forever.
Amen.
But I give you the third word that leads to iniquity. We have an ingratitude that leads to an ignorance that leads to an iniquity. And we see in verse number 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. That's what AOC is. She just corrupts everything she can corrupt. She don't have any agenda except to destroy anything that's good. You'll have to excuse me for being a little personal. I did come to preach. That's what you asked me to do, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They're corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. This ingratitude led to an ignorance, and this ignorance led to an iniquity. Friend, I want to tell you something. We've never seen a nation as full of sin as what it is tonight.
Yes, sir.
We've never seen people as hurt and broken and wrecked and ruined as they are in our nation today. Iniquity everywhere.
Yes,
I read the history of the University of Duke, and you ought to just read their history and how that they built the college and the purpose of the University of Duke. Read the purpose of in Kentucky, Transylvania University. Mr. David Rice, one of the first professors, and I have a copy of the first textbook that he used at Transylvania College, and he taught men to be preachers of the gospel in Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Dartmouth. One of these schools last year, or maybe year before last, they chose an atheist as their chaplain. You talk about iniquity. I went to a funeral last week. They called it an Episcopalian Catholic church. And I was taken to the back room where there was family, and I was meeting with family. There weren't cases of Bibles. There was cases of liquor back there. Iniquity is everywhere. I mean, it is beyond what we can imagine. You know where it came from? First of all, an ingratitude. After an ingratitude comes an ignorance. After an ignorance becomes an iniquity. And guess what that leads to? Look with me in verse number 5. The Bible says, why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Make note of the illness here and what type of illness that you have when you leave gratitude to God Almighty that created male and female in the Garden of Eden, and he designed life and he designed marriage and he designed family. Now we have an illness when you're not thankful to an Almighty God. You become an ignorant people, and an ignorant people become a sinful people, and a sinful people become a sick. People.
Yes, sir.
Number one sickness in America today is mental illness.
Yes, sir.
Senator McConnell sent his legal aide. He actually asked me to have lunch with him a few weeks ago, and I said, I'm not ready to do that right now. I'm quite disappointed in you. And I've had lunch with him many times. And I said, I just don't think it's good right now for us to do that. So he asked if I would meet with his legal aide to see what I was upset about, and I told her. One good thing about the meeting, it was 65 degrees and the sun was shining outside. It was a really nice day that we met. And she said, what are you disappointed in? I said, I'm disappointed that we have so much crime in our country and you want to pass a gun law.
Yes, sir.
And you want to add a red flag law to that to say, I can call and say, I think my neighbor's crazy and I'm afraid he's going to hurt somebody with a gun. And she said, well, we have due process. Yeah, due process in this country used to be you're innocent till proven guilty. Now you're guilty till you're proven innocent.
Yes,
you take all of his guns away and you put him in court and he spends $20,000 to prove that he's sane.
Yes, sir.
We're sick. I said, I got a better idea. Let's make a law against mental illness. She said, that's impossible. I said, it makes as much sense as making a law on gun control.
Yes, sir.
What's being taught today is mental illness. When Florida and Kentucky and other states have to pass laws to protect the children from what the kindergarten teacher wants to teach them about sex education, you have a problem with mental illness.
Yes,
when evolution is taught that is nothing but a theory rather than the truths of the Word of God, you have mental illness. I would not read out loud in public what is written in books for children to read in kindergarten classes across America. Drugs and alcohol in this country is a mental illness. When our leaders promote alcohol, they've got a mental illness. Young man, 26 years old, Saturday night, a London police officer was sitting in his car, just sitting in his car. It was 20 minutes past midnight, sitting at an intersection on a fairly quiet night. A fella had been at a party and he'd been watching a ball game and been drinking all night. He came through the intersection, had no idea where he was, what he was doing, crashed into the police car, and he killed the police officer sitting there. A young wife, a toddler child, he's dead. And they tell me that if we could just have more alcohol, we can make more money for our state. First of all, that, my friend, is a lie. You don't make more money with alcohol and sin. You make more destruction with alcohol and sin. But our problem is mental illness. Where did that mental illness come? It came from a seed of evildoers, a nation laden with iniquity. Where did that come from? It came from an ignorant people. Where did they become ignorant? Because they walked out of church and said, we get our education from the university. Friend, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You'll learn more in an old-fashioned Sunday school that teaches that Bible than you will in a university that denies that there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you tonight, our nation is sick, and it's sick because we've walked away from our faithfulness to God. Defending the police is an idea of mental illness.
Come on.
Taking the Bible out of public education is a mental illness.
Yes.
I preached in the Philippines just a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I believe. You know, they don't have any problems with drugs in the Philippines. Because if you sell drugs in the Philippines, they execute you.
Amen.
You say, you're promoting that? Well, I'm just telling you, they don't have any problem with drugs in the Philippines. They don't have much problem with public intoxication in the Philippines. Because if you're caught and publicly intoxicated, you go to jail for a year.
Amen.
Their jails are not very nice.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, do you think we ought to treat people that way? I'm just saying they don't have any problem with public alcohol intoxication in the Philippines. Where I preached in that island, I believe, that has about 1.5 million people. It is said that 75% of police officers are born again Christians.
Wow.
The colonel of the police department, and there are 15 different training agencies or training locations in that island. And Pastor Martin, Rick Martin, he has a preacher that works for every one of those departments.
Amen.
And they cannot. when they get to the week, I think it's five or six, when they shoot and learn to shoot their gun, they go through the plan of salvation, the Romans Road. They go through the plan of salvation. It is said that 75 to 80% of all police officers are born again in the Philippines.
Amen. Amen.
You can't teach socialism in the Philippines. You can't teach evolution in the Philippines. But if you are a preacher of the gospel, you can go into a public school and teach the Bible.
Amen.
Letting boys acting like girls play on volleyball teams is a mental illness.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Right now, what's going on, we have this game going on to see. They get a boy that acts like a girl and gets on a girl's volleyball team, and their goal is to injure the smallest girl on the other team. It was in the news last week.
Yes, sir.
Video after video where they take a big old gangly boy and says he's a girl. I asked my banker the other day, I said, my car loan is identified as a student loan and doesn't want me to pay it anymore. He laughed about that and he said, I'm sorry, that don't work, preacher. I said, okay.
Good try.
Look at verse number 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. That's not an allegory. That's not. That's what's happening in our nation.
That's
right.
In Minneapolis, they're not charging people for shoplifting anymore.
That's right.
A police officer recently went through security. A legal police officer went through security with a gun. He was arrested recently, just in the last few weeks. They didn't keep him in jail, though they took him to jail. They didn't keep him, but they charged him. It's going to cost him over $10,000, possibly 30 days in jail, because a legal gun-carrying police officer. But in that city, they're working to defund the police and champion the shoplifter. And anything they don't like, they burn it down.
Yes, sir.
Now, all this began with ingratitude. We don't have time to go to church and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Yes, sir.
All of this happened because we didn't have time to go to church on Wednesday night and open the Bible and learn a passage of Scripture and learn a truth. And now I want you to notice verse number 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. You can write down the word invasion. Nobody knows the number of folks that are invading our country. 100,000, 200,000 a day. Miss Martha didn't enjoy those immigrants coming to her house, did she? We've been invaded by belief and the foolishness of socialism and communism. We've been invaded by Hollywood producing its illicit sexual activity and murderous minds in the youth of America. Other nations are invading our nation.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's right.
Man Saturday asked me about a piece of property and asked what it was worth. It had a $1 million house on it and the house burned. Illegal immigrants own it. They own a store. They said, we don't have to pay taxes for the first 5 years we're here. So first 5 years the business was in his name, and next 5 years in his wife's name, the next 5 years in his son's name, and you and I are paying taxes and we're being invaded.
That's right.
He said, what we need is a new president. No, what we need is Christians. Get out of bed on Sunday morning and get back to the house of God. That's what we need. It's easy for us to point our fingers at Washington. It's easy for us to point our fingers there. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of changes that need to be made. But God's going to give us what we deserve until Christians get out of the bed on Sunday morning and stay out of the television and stay out of the internet all night on Saturday night and come dragging in on Sunday morning looking at the preacher, bless me if you can, rather than coming in and saying, Lord, I just want to thank you you that I have a family and I have a church that I can attend and I have the health to be here today and I have a job that I can provide for my family. I want to thank you for your goodness, because when you're thankful to God, it leads you to faith in the Word of God, and faith in the Word of God leads you to principles of life and life of a life of success and joy and gladness. All of this happens because we leave the house of God, and in our hearts we leave the worship of God. Invasion. Verse number 11, you find insincerity. Insincerity. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I was intrigued by that Episcopalian Catholic church that I went to for a funeral, so I watched them online. I was intrigued to see if they had a service online. They did. I'm not trying to make fun, but honestly, it looked like a costume party. And I'm not trying to make a joke. It's sad. I'm talking about adults. I'm talking about a downtown, expensive, nice place. And I watched as they made their sacrifices and as they drank their wine. And I saw their cases of Old Forester liquor stacked up there. And they're going through rituals and motions. And he says here in verse number 11, to what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of fat and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? You know what he's saying? I don't need your money.
Right.
I want your heart.
Amen.
Yes.
I want you to give me what only you can give.
Yes.
I want you to thank me for what you have. I want you to recognize that I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes,
it's not your wealth that I want. It's you that I want.
Amen.
When Abraham was asked to offer Isaac on the altar, he wasn't trying to see if he would give Isaac. He wanted to know if he still had Abraham. And I want to show up for church when tonight, and I want to show up for church Sunday morning to let God know you still have my heart. You still have my life. You still have my surrender. Yes, I'll give my tithe, and yes, I'll give my offering, and yes, I will sing the praises of God. But it's not the motion, it's not the activity, it's the heart of man that God desires.
Amen.
Insincerity. Verses 19 to 21 is injustice. There's so many illustrations of injustice in our country today. Verse number 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword or of judgment. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Devoured with a sword.
Yes, sir.
How is it that a state house such as New York can pass a bill to say it's all right not only to murder the unborn, it's all right up to a few hours after the baby's born. If you decide you don't want it, you can take its life. And to watch that group of people stand there and cheer that their bill had passed. That's not righteous judgment. That's murder.
Yes, sir.
That's murder.
Yes, sir.
In our state, we have a simple constitutional amendment on the ballot November 8th, and you simply vote yes for life. And it says that the Constitution of the state of Kentucky cannot be construed to support abortion or provide funding or financing for abortion. You can't put up a sign, vote yes for life, and it stay in your yard overnight. They steal them. They threaten the preacher that preaches. And they said to me, they said, you better be careful, you'll lose tax-exempt status. I said, my forefathers lost their heads. I'm not worried about my tax-exempt status.
Yes.
We get to the place that we're willing to compromise because we don't lose a tax-exempt status.
Come
we're
on.
Going to end up losing our heads. What we're
yes,
going to
sir.
Lose.
That's right. That's right.
right. By the way, and this doesn't qualify. And one of the things that I met with the president about and he talked to me about was the fact that no church has ever lost a tax-exempt status. That's an empty threat of the world. But they say, you can't talk about that in the pulpit. And I told them, I'm in the pulpit and I'm talking about it.
Yes, man.
And I want you to tell the whole world, I want you to tattle on me and tell the whole world, I said, vote yes for life.
Yes, sir, man.
And what I couldn't afford in financing commercials they paid for.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 22. You know what happens in verse 22? Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto thee. You can write beside that inflation.
Yes, sir.
Inflation. Silver is dross. You have silver, it's just not worth anything.
Yes, sir.
Wine mixed with water means that it's weakened. Princes are rebellious. They even have squad names for them. They're the companion of thieves. I ask a senator, I'd like to know how to invest money. You've been a senator 10 years, made $175,000 a year, and you're worth $3 million. How in the world do you do that? You know one thing President Trump did? He got rid of lobbyists in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how many congressmen and senators went back to the private sector? They said, we can't make money anymore in D.C., so we go back to the private sector. You know what they were doing? They were a companion of thieves.
That's right.
We can leave $1 billion worth of military power, firepower, in a foreign country. And we have trillions of dollars in debt inflation.
That's right.
Verse 23, you have irresponsibility. If you have a company and you need employees, you're having a hard time.
Yes, sir.
You can't go anywhere and find 10 honest, hardworking employees.
Yes, sir.
Cameras are everywhere. Have to. Cameras have to be everywhere. You know why? Irresponsibility.
Now, yes, sir.
I said all of that to say this. There is an answer. You say, how do you clear up all that corruption? How do you do that? We can't, but God can.
Amen.
I don't have time to go through the stories, but one man made a difference when the Philistine army cursed the people of God. And God used David, one man, to take his head off and to win that battle.
Yes.
The Jews, I mean, the letter of annihilation had already been sent out. And Esther, one woman stood.
Yes, sir.
And change the course of history.
Yes,
amen.
So what do? First of all, we serve God and put him first in our life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Amen.
We need to put God first in our lives.
Yes.
Second of all, we need to rear our children to serve God.
Yes, sir.
We need to rear our children to know God.
Amen.
We need to rear our children to be thankful to God.
Amen.
Then last of all, we need to win others to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We got to win boys and girls and teenagers and men and women.
Yes, sir.
Folks will get saved. They will get saved. They won't get saved if you don't ask them.
That's right.
But they will be saved. You say, does everybody get saved you talk to? Absolutely not. But nobody gets saved that I don't talk to.
That's right.
That's right.
This old book is the answer.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 1. Thousands of years ago, and yet that's the newspaper today.
Yes, it is.
That's exactly what America is. And if it was the answer then, it's the answer today.
Amen.
Stand with me, if you will. Thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You may be here tonight and not know Christ as your Savior. That may not be likely on a Monday night, but perhaps someone invited you. It's your first time in this church. You've never received Christ as Savior. In just a moment, when the invitation song is played, you ought to make your way out of your seat. You ought to meet the preacher down here and let him know, I want to become a Christian. I want to receive Christ as Savior. I want to be saved. Maybe here tonight as a Christian, you think there's no hope. And if you think there's no hope, you're looking in the wrong direction.
Yes, sir.
And the hope is not just in God. It's in our faith and obedience in what God can do. Just a moment. Let's find a place around this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I do want to say thank you. And I want to be thankful for all that you do for us. And I want to lead others to do the same. Heavenly Father, we're a blessed people.
Yes.
May we never allow our blessings to hinder us from being thankful to the blesser. I pray, Lord, that you forgive us our sins and failures. Lord, may we be a people that worship you beginning with our hearts, our heart and spirit, a devotion of commitment to you. And Lord, may we lead others to do the same and realize every prayer is a possible miracle. Every act of obedience is a possible moving of your hand to do a mighty work. Bless our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.